We continue with the expert hotline here on the podcast, and we're happy to have on the line with us the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Courtney Banghart, joining us here. Coach, how are you? Thanks for the time.
I'm great. I'm glad to be on.
First question for you, Courtney, is you were back in your old stomping grounds in Hanover. Did you stop at Lou's to get breakfast?
You know, I wish I did. I've got three young children that when I'm on the road and I get a chance to sleep in, I'm going to take that for what it is. But I miss that place a lot.
Fair enough. So obviously you won 79-67. You know, looking at the stats, you know, you had 21 assists on 32 field goals, which is pretty incredible. And a player that she's one of my favorite players, Leslie Robinson, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Can you just talk about the game and a little bit about how it is coaching a player like Leslie?
Yeah, absolutely. Starting with the game, you know, Hanover's a special place to me, obviously. And Dartmouth's got such a rich basketball tradition, so we always know it's going to be a dogfight up there. Bell has done a great job with their fan base, so it's always a fun environment. And we knew it was going to be a tough game, and that's what it was, kind of on both sides of the ball. And one of the key reasons that we came out successful was Leslie Robinson, who, you know, almost had a triple-double, and she impacts the game in so many ways. And one of the most important ways is in the intangible way that she does it. You know, she brings such joy to the way that we compete, and she brings such accountability to kind of the game plan that we put in front of her. And then she also plays with such a heady style on offense. So she's that really rare player that, you know, you can kind of, as a joke, we call it the old man game. You know, she's going to play the same way when she's playing at the local YMCA. But it's also, it's really sound. And then the intangible that is Leslie Robinson is remarkable.
You good, Brett?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
And then now flipping it to, you know, less than 24 hours later, you head to Cambridge and take on a Harvard team who had yet to lose a game in Lavides Pavilion. So my question is, they ended up, you know, they obviously won. They finished the season going 12-0. What makes them so good at home?
That's a good question. I think they're, you know, they've been typically a good home team. And I think once a team starts feeling something about something, then that ends up being your kind of tradition for that year. And I think they took a lot of pride in it being a new arena this year, you know, a new face to it. And they shoot the ball. It's the first time I've seen such a drastic change. I mean, they score 18 more points a game at home than they do on the road over the course of the length of the season. It's pretty remarkable. Tough place to play. And they also just outplayed us. It was a combination of many things. A lot of credit to them for that performance.
And Kathy Delaney Smith, she was quoted saying that, you know, that was some of the best defense that she's ever seen in that gym. You know, obviously forcing 17 turnovers. Were they pressing you? Was it just on the catch? They had a lot of ball pressure.
Yeah, you know, it was. I think first half we missed a lot of shots that we typically make, and then uncharacteristically we kind of went into our shells a little bit. So I thought we crowded ourselves too much, which made us a lot easier to guard. And so credit to them for forcing us out of our comfort zone in a way that forced our players to kind of become islands more so than cohesive, not in a culture way, but in a way that they tried to respond to it. So I think we were as much to blame, I think, as they were.
Coach, your defense all season long has been very good. Second best defense as far as points allowed coming in to this weekend. Has that been really a point of emphasis for your squad coming into this year? We know you guys in the past have been able to put up a ton of points, but this year it seems that the defense more than ever has really stood out for you guys.
Well, in the last 9 years, the best team defensively has won the Ivy League title. And you know, we've been a part of hopefully what's soon to be 6 of those. And so it's we've always been solid defensively. I think that's where the game is. That's where you learn how to be a teammate. That's where you learn how to understand the angles of basketball, which help you on the offensive end as well. So we do field goal percentage defense because we play a lot of guys. So if we played our top guys more, maybe they'd score less or whatnot. But I think defense is, you know, I think that's what's made Penn and Princeton so solid over the last 10 years is that both teams are really stringent defensively.
Flipping to offensively, you know, another one of my favorite players is Abby Myers. And I mean, she obviously, you know, she was co-rookie of the week, averaged 16 points a game, shooting almost 56%, 55% from three. You know, she was highly recruited. And I always talk about, you know, on the broadcast the other day that, you know, when you have a player coming off your bench that was also recruited by a school such as Michigan, you know, you're in a pretty good place. But you just talk about her development, because I feel like, you know, it took her a little while to adjust to the college game, but she's clearly now adjusted and is really fun to watch.
And I agree with you entirely. I think Abby's adjustment was slower than we thought. You know, she ultimately was down to us and Stanford, and that's a obviously two good, really good basketball programs. And, you know, what she did is every single day, including today, you know, before we go into another home weekend, I mean, she stays after practice every single day to get better at skill work. I think she didn't realize where she was deficient in terms of her ball handling and in terms of, you know, certain aspects of her game, and give her a lot of credit that she didn't pack it in and say, you know what, I'm good enough to be okay now, and I'll just, spring and summer, I'll attack it. She's been attacking it, which has made her sort of Ivy League season much better than her non-conference season. And she's really fun to coach because she's got a fearlessness that is really special, and a relentlessness that on the offensive end especially, that is it's hard to coach. You know, it's hard to teach someone to do that. So she's a special player in the Ivy League so far, and I'm excited to watch her continue to grow based on her work ethic.
I'm curious, Courtney, just about the dynamics on your team, where, you know, three, I think, out of your top four scorers are freshmen and sophomore. You have, you know, Carly Littlefield, Bella Allery, obviously, and then Abby Myers. How have, you know, you have a senior group as well, and your captains. How has that dynamic been when almost, you know, the underclassmen are kind of the more talented of the group, and have the seniors kind of just embraced them and trying to put the, you know, the team together?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's something that we were sort of trying to think about how to prepare in the off season, knowing kind of what we had coming in. And I can't give enough credit to our seniors. I've always said that the Ivy League is won by seniors because of the nature of the back-to-back, and that you play everybody twice, so it's a true champion. And our seniors have been accountable, consistent. They've brought joy to the game. They've allowed the younger guys just to be the younger guys, and they take care of most everything else. And so the season is no different. I think our seniors have collectively, although maybe not in the stat sheet, but collectively they have been the most impactful senior class, I think. And so, you know, I give a lot of credit to them. You know, I really do. There's not, I mean, look at our bench. I mean, if you're, you know, when you, there's not a lot of, there's no pointing fingers of like, when's my turn? It's how can I help? And we address that at the beginning of every year. We address that in the recruiting process, that if you're worried about you and your set 17 and your minutes, there's somewhere else for you. You know, it's how can I help? And we'll win a lot of games that way.
Courtney, looking back to when your first season in Princeton, 2007-2008, and then you look at it now, I mean, the league has changed so much, and you've been with the league even longer than obviously with your time here at Dartmouth as a coach and as a player, but can you just kind of describe to us and the listeners and maybe some of the outsiders who are starting to follow the league, I mean, how much the league has changed over the years, how much more competitive it's been. We've seen, especially in the RPI, how high the ranking has been. Just describe to us how much the league has really changed here over the last 15 years.
I love that question, because I think there are a lot of people that look at the Ivy League kind of with a faraway eye and sort of are more interested in the student-athlete balance as opposed to the rigor and the competitiveness of our athletic program. And the league has gotten so much better. It's gotten, I mean, there's high major wins across all the way down the roster, all the way down the league. And the coaches are really good coaches all across. So you're getting really talented players who are being very well coached. And then you have the people that are used to excellence, and that part of it is really a special mix. And so, you know, I think people are catching on. I think the national attention is catching on. I think people are starting to realize harder to schedule non-conference games across the board because of it, and I give all the credit to the current players and current coaches that are seeing the possibilities of the Ivy League and then pushing the league there versus like leaning on our legacy. I think the legacy is strong as well, but I think there's a lot of hope amongst the inside of the Ivy League of how good we can be, and you know, it's across the board. I can talk about each team and the games I've seen this year of these teams play. And when I'm preparing for games, I used to, honestly, I wouldn't have to prepare for both teams. And now there's no weekend where I don't have to prepare for both teams. And that means that of eight, you only have eight teams in your conference and they're all good. I stack that up against any other conference in the country where, you know, you have really good teams across the board.
That makes it exciting for the fans, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no... I think it's also proving everybody how hard winning is. I mean, it's really hard to win because it wasn't like, you know, us losing to Harvard or us losing to Yale were not bad losses. And I told my team that after the game. These are not bad losses. These are good teams. And there were times in my kind of long tenure in the Ivy League where if you lose an Ivy League game, it might have been a bad loss. And I just think there's a lot less bad losses now. There's just more interesting results.
Well, that's something that I think a lot of people don't know. Like, just looking at the latest RPI, I mean, you're right now 34, Harvard's 55, you know, Penn's 68, three teams in the top 100, like you said.
Top 75, yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
You know, it's earned. You know, these are good teams. It's fun to coach against. It's fun to watch these players. It's fun to watch the talented players that are coming into the league. You know, you're recruiting now against all the time high major teams across the board. Every team in the league is recruiting against high majors. And not just this is the Ivy League population. That's where I've noticed it as well. In the recruiting process, people ask me all the time, who do we recruit against? And it's not one school. It's a lot of high majors, you know, and I think that's what everyone in the league would say, which is exciting for what the future.
And exciting for us as well is the second year that there's an Ivy tournament. And I'm curious, and as a fan, you know, Brett and I, we love the tournament because it's more basketball and all these, you know, games in the last weekends have meaning. And I'm just curious, yep, kind of your take on having a tournament for a coach that has won the regular season and has gone to, yeah, the NCAA tournament. You know, you can win if the tournament wasn't there, you know, with one win this weekend, you clinch, you know, the regular season and you're going to the big dance. Mm-hmm. So what is, yeah, your take on this Ivy tournament, especially with the success that you've had, whereas you hadn't had to go in a playoff setting to get to the big dance?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on, I'm not really for or against it until I understand the purpose of it. I think that's what's important to understand. And I'm not sure it's been clearly articulated what the purpose is, right? Because basketball, if it's for basketball and for elevating our league in a basketball sense, then how you elevate your league on a national sense is you have relevance nationally. So you got to beat national teams, right? And so I think it's critical that we send our best team to the NCAA tournament. Now, in a year like this year, they're all good, so it probably doesn't matter as much. But in some years, like last year, if we had beaten Penn in the Ivy League tournament, that would have been horrendous for the Ivy League because we would have drawn a very low seed and we would have done really poorly. And and Penn almost won a tournament game, right? And so if it's a basketball, then are we going to protect our number one seed? Are we going to make sure we send our best team so that we, you know, can be more relevant nationally and get and protect our seed that the league RPI is giving us? Or is it for the student-athlete experience? And if it's for the student-athlete experience, we need to ask the student-athletes. I think there's a lot of assumption that it's a great thing for the student-athletes, and I just don't know. I don't know how Princeton-athletes feel. I don't know how Harvard-athletes feel, how Columbia, I don't know. And then the third thing is if it's about marketing. And that's, I think, what this particular tournament's about, because that's why it's at a predetermined, you know, it's at a home site. I'm sure Harvard wishes it was at Harvard. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So the fact that it's at a home site and that the Ivy office sort of made that decision, they made that decision ahead of time because they felt they could better market the tournament. So I think the purpose this year is about marketing, and therefore I probably am not a super fan of it. But if they figure out, whenever the purpose is really determined, I can get behind it because, as you said, it's more basketball. It's not more basketball for the four teams that aren't in it because they have to give up a game anyway, and then they don't get the tournament game. So it's really not more basketball for everybody, but it's more basketball for your better teams. And I think we always have four really good teams now. That wasn't the case 10 years ago. So I think it's a neat time for all of this. I'm not certain that the purpose has been met. And so I would challenge the powers to be, whoever those people are, to determine what the purpose of the tournament is and then ensure that the standards of the tournament meet the purpose.
Well,
I can get behind it.
We had the Yale AD on before you. We should have asked him. He might have,
yeah,
gave us some insight. But
yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people that feel negatively about the tournament, but they we have to remember they were at these institutions when there were no women even at the institution, right? So change is a good thing. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. It comes down to whatever the purpose is and make sure we meet the purpose.
Great. Well, Coach, the last thing that we kind of like to end the podcast on is what we call rapid fire, which are just some questions that are non-basketball related. So
Great.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm fine. I'm looking forward to it. Let's just do it.
All right. First up is, how would you describe yourself in one word?
Oh, gosh. How about
I'll put you on the hot seat.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And then the next one is, how would your team?
I would say two words, happy idiot, but in general, I would probably say relational.
And, okay, how would your team describe you in one word?
Competitive.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
People that aren't nice to other people.
Your favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
What is your favorite emoji?
Oh, that angry face, the red face. I just think he's adorable. He's supposed to be angry, but I think he's adorable.
And last one, what's your favorite TV show?
I'm into Scandal right now.
Olivia Pope.
I mean, yes. I really prefer college basketball, but yeah, I'd say Scandal.
Awesome.
Courtney Banghart, the head coach of Princeton Women's Basketball. They will have Brown and Yale this weekend in New Jersey. And, of course, you can catch both of those games on the Ivy League Network. Coach, best of luck this weekend. Best of luck in the tournament. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for all you're doing for women's basketball.
Thanks, Courtney.
Big thanks to our guests here this week on the podcast, Tom Beckett, the athletic director at Yale, Courtney Banghart, head coach for Princeton Women's Basketball, and a final episode of the podcast will drop next week, but should be fun as Jill and I will be on the call for Dartmouth Men's Basketball this weekend. Jill, looking forward to it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
I'll see you tomorrow, Brett.
All right. Big thanks to our guests. Big thanks to you, the audience. We'll catch you next time here on the podcast. Enjoy the games, everybody.
Happy March.